The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Beautiful afternoon here in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well wherever you're listening and enjoying the festivities today. Oh my goodness, another jam-packed afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. We got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Joe Rexroad is going to join the festivities later this hour to we'll sift through all the various coaching searches that are occurring as we speak. Plane tracking, boots on the ground, wheels up. They can't trot so-and-so out there, can they? Oh, I love the coaching search season. It's going to be fantastic. Got to go to the did the choral concert yesterday, the middle school choral concert.
Are you in the Christmas spirit
it?
Now?
Yeah. It was okay.
Okay.
I think that, it is what it is. It's not, they're middle schoolers, you know? And I think that I did have that one moment that every parent can empathize with if you've ever been to a children's, whether it's band or chorus, winter concert, when you see the 12 Days of Christmas on the program, it's just like, oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Really?
That's a long one.
It's a long one, man.
Yeah. Kids.
And you just got to zone out. At one point, I like took out my phone and was like checking Twitter.
So you sit up in the bleachers?
Well, they had it. It's a middle school gym, right? Basketball gym.
Yeah.
And the bleachers are on the other side. My wife and we had like seats on the floor.
Oh, right? Floor seats.
Second row.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead. I have a move I use.
Yeah, I mean, I wish if I had had a say in it, and in hindsight, I mean, I got there late, you know, so like they already had the seats picked out. It wasn't up to me. But like, I would have rather sat in the bleachers because they have like that curved thing. You know, you can lean a little bit.
A little bit. I can't sit in those bleachers. It puts me to it.
Well, I was sitting on a hard ass. Yeah, I mean, and you know, I've got those issues too. I'm on that hard ass folding chair and like, 20 minutes into this thing, I'm like, oh, God, this is not good.
Leaning forward, trying to find
leaning
a comfortable
forward,
spot.
Like moving around.
Here's what you do. You show up late.
And stand by the exit?
You go stand on the wall of the gym, and you can squat down there if you have to. You can you can slip out the door and go get your drink of water and go to the bathroom if you need to. Nobody notices.
Well, and they did a thing like my daughter's thing was done 20 minutes in, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's an hour-long program, and at the end, they all get together and so
take like a bow. An encore.
So they make it so that you can't just like watch your kid
and leave.
Then go.
Because people do that.
Absolutely, dude. I would have done that.
I don't do that, man.
My parents did that at my graduation.
I go ahead and stay for the whole thing.
Good for you. I would have gotten the heck out of there. Don't care about your kid. I'm there to see mine.
It's incredibly rude.
Wait, Trey.
I won't. It is what it is, man.
Watch it, Jim.
Trey, you mentioned your parents did that at your graduation. Your last name is Wallace. Wouldn't they have to sit through like the entire graduation just to see you?
Oh, no, they did. But like right when Wallace was done, they were gone.
Like, Wallace.
Along with everybody else.
And then they're like,
there was a couple other
did
names.
Did you have
after.
A lot of Zabowskis in your
Zoolander.
Class or something?
Like, I had 1,500 people in my class.
Westbrook and
you know,
Zimmerman.
How long
and then
that was?
It.
Yeah, but you're at the end of the alphabet.
That was torture.
I mean, if you were, you know.
No, I'm team end of the alphabet too, man. I always had to wait till the end. It's tough for us Smiths, us Wallaces out there. You guys who's like letter, like you, if you're like M or closer, y'all don't know the struggle.
Yeah.
The struggle's real for us end of the alphabeters.
Right.
We had to sit through so many things that y'all didn't have to sit through.
Well, let me ask you this. I wouldn't want to sit out there in the middle there.
Bear is easy.
With the principal.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, do you get a little nervous when they come around? I still don't. Still don't get along with those people.
They staring you down.
Just have authority figure issues.
Yeah, it's like I find myself wanting to get the kids organized and, you know, usurping the authority.
No, I don't have that. I just have the, like, I want to see my kid, and I don't want to get the heck out of there.
Like this guy was barking at these kids to stay in line and all this
stuff.
Here
we go. All right. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I think children aren't given enough freedom of expression right now.
You think kids have it too rough? You think
how they do in that guy's class?
You think
modern
authority is too hard on the children? You realize you're the only person in the world with this take, right?
Yeah, because
they used to pull your pants down and beat the crap out of you with a wooden paddle at school.
Nowadays, yeah, I had it happen to me frequently, Russell.
Nowadays the kids assault the teachers.
And I'm a rageaholic now.
They flip the script real quick.
Hey, my views on like school beatings, and that's what they are. It's
corporal
not paddling.
It's corporal
school
punishment.
School beatings, because that's what you're doing. You're so much bigger than me, and you get a paddle? Like, that's not – what's fair about that?
It's not like
but
I'm
But I'll tell
pledging.
You what, man. I'll tell you what. I'm beginning to soften a little bit on that. If you would take some of these problem kids and beat the living crap out of them like their parents should have when they were younger, I guarantee you some of these problems we're having in American public schools would start to evaporate. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah, but I'm also not trying to join a fraternity.
I just felt bad for these kids. I mean, it's 6, 7 o'clock at night, and they're still having to walk in a line. And
with a Christmas outfit on.
No, they were all in black pants and white shirts.
They're walking a line, Bear. What do you want? Just turn them loose? Yeah, just do whatever you want. Go up there.
Yeah, but I mean, let them talk in line. My God. This isn't Nazi Germany.
Well, I'm not advocating we herd them off to an extermination camp. I'm just saying a little law and order is not a bad thing.
I mean, goodness gracious, Russ. You just couldn't deal with it for an hour?
I did. I dealt with it for an hour.
Okay, how did you get away with looking down at Twitter?
Oh, well, yeah, at one point during the 12 days in Christmas, which lasted like 12 minutes.
On the fifth day, you looked
down. He was on Twitter.
I'm looking at Twitter, and my wife gives me the elbow. Put that away. Yeah. Put that away. Pay attention. I'm like, my kid's not even up there. I'm sitting through the eighth graders doing 12 days of Christmas.
Tell her to back off. Back off.
Getting bad looks from other parents.
Better back up.
Nah, you didn't. You'd have made the news last night.
No, he put his
night.
Phone up immediately.
Wes Knoxville, mom, pummels husband to death. And
well, I'm between my wife and my mom, too, so I'm getting it from like both sides. You
we
know?
Just saw I mean, him on Cedar Bluff brutal. With his finger out looking for a ride.
Well, I tell you what is not brutal, folks, and that is $6 Burger Day at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. They do it every Wednesday. Great. Get yourself a tasty burger at the Smoky Mountain Brewery. Perhaps a Mountain Light or Cold Cherokee Red to wash that tasty burger down. Every Wednesday, $6 Burger Day at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Check them out, and we'll be back out there soon, I'm sure, to do another live show. Let's go right to the phones this afternoon. We get things fired up here on The Drive. PTR leads things off today. Hello, PTR.
Well, first of all, hello, gentlemen. I hope everybody's doing well. First of all, I about ran off the road laughing with the Samuel L. Jackson. Can I have a taste of your tasty beverage to wash this down with?
I'm glad somebody got the reference. Thank you, PTR.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's priceless. And sadly, I found myself this morning, and I guess why I'm so in tune to that, I watched a clip on YouTube from the movie at Jack Rabbit Slims. But anyway, you know, it's funny. I just heard the last 2 minutes of y'all's conversation, and I know Bear went through this because he went to a good Catholic school where the nuns would probably wrap your knuckles. But when I got in trouble in school, there was no debate. There was no discussion. Whatever I got in trouble for was going to be 3 times worse when I got home. They didn't ask me if I really did it or what my excuse was. It just was worse when I got home. And that's just the way it should be. Speaking of which, and tied to it, the funniest thing I saw on Twitter all weekend, you know, everybody was giving Jeremy a hard time over grabbing face masks and jerseys. somebody, I hope y'all saw this, but somebody tweeted out a picture of that Ole Miss player peeing in the end zone. This is what happens when your coach doesn't grab your face.
Nice. Well done.
I thought that was priceless. Wanted to share that with you. Gentlemen, have a great day.
Outstanding. Too, bud. That's a good point.
Like would that be the Rubicon for if one of our guys did that? I mean, what do you think would be the reaction from Big Germ?
Big Germ?
Warhead is top of his head.
Well, but I mean, he raises an interesting point, right? That's the differences between the two programs. And, like, this is not – I don't know how correlated this is to winning, but I just can't imagine.
You can draw a direct correlation. You can. It costs them the game.
Well, I'm just talking about, like, as far as is Jeremy Pruitt going to be a championship coach because his team is scared of
Heart
him
knows.
And would never do something like that? I don't know. But
I would call
if
it
Matt Luke,
disciplined.
If Matt Luke's players had the same respect for his authority that our players have for Jeremy Pruitt's, that dude wouldn't have done that, and Matt Luke would probably still have his job.
It's kind of like what Marcus Tatum said today during an interview with David Ubbin, talking about why he was leaving Tennessee. It's like, he was not upset, but he didn't understand why people got all agitated about the tugging of the face mask. He goes, that's just how Jeremy Pruitt is. He's an intense football coach, but we all know he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he roams the sidelines. It was very interesting when David asked the question about, you know, how do you go about it and how's it been handled? He goes, the local media, because this kid works in media relations as well. If y'all didn't know that, he types up all the press conferences after the games, even when he's done playing.
Who does?
Marcus Tatum.
Really?
Yeah, he's an intern with the media relations
That's
department.
That's cool.
Not anymore, but he's an intern with the media relations department, and he was just saying that he saw the local media taking up for Jeremy Pruitt, but he thought it was pretty bad look for the national media, the way they were coming after him for clicks, is what he said.
Well, it's good to know that a player that's leaving the program, and
right.
Here's a guy who might have some reason to be upset because he put in all the work, added all the weight, was a starter throughout all fall camp, and then pretty much immediately lost his starting job and didn't play much this year.
Yeah.
That's a guy that maybe on his way out the door might throw a bomb or two, but to see him say good things on his way out the door and doesn't seem like he has any regrets is probably a sign that the culture in the program is pretty good and there's not a lot of players who are upset.
He said he hopes the Vols go down and dominate in Florida, and the coaching staff was nothing but gracious in trying to find him a new spot. He thought it would take longer for the process to play out, but he said he started getting phone calls this morning from different coaches. He's going to graduate on December 13th with a degree in sports management and a minor in business.
Why didn't he stay here and finish out his career here?
He wanted to go somewhere he can play immediately. I just don't think he was going to play next year.
Who's he behind?
Wanya Morris, Darnell Wright. You might have heard of him. 5 stars. Pretty good.
Familiar with him.
Yeah. So, now, you know, 2 Tennessee offensive linemen. You know, I get it.
I think from a depth standpoint and a practice standpoint, that hurts a little bit, and probably a reason why you saw Pruitt trying to jump all over this St. John's kid who's committed to Missouri and kicking the tires on a couple of other offensive linemen. Because
what's one spot Tennessee can't lose players in?
They need
speaking of Missouri,
spots anywhere.
Well, it's offensive line though, because they got up to a point where they had 18 scholarship offensive linemen.
What's the deepest position on the roster? Probably D-line, right?
Probably D-line, yeah.
And linebacker.
What, you think linebacker is deep? We're woefully thin at linebacker.
I mean, you lose Ignat and Reed.
Like, who's your backup linebackers next year?
Now you lose Batuli.
I mean, you know in Banks. We're pretty much agreeing that Banks is coming back.
He might be starting. Who are your backups? You got Toto, Crouch,
I'm not
JJ Peterson.
2-deep radio kind of guy, Rush. You know this. Maybe I'm completely wrong here. I don't know. Here's what I do know.
Yeah.
Missouri blew out their coach. They've got a commitment from a kid 10 miles from here that runs a 4.3 40.
It just doesn't look like Bear they're going to go after him. And I get it. Maybe they should, but it just feels like.
I mean, I know he's small, but you've got a talent like that. He grew up in town. I mean, you try and figure out a way to make the numbers work.
Does Elijah Young, does he have any other SEC offers besides Missouri? That would be a question I'd be interested in.
I don't know.
In knowing the answer.
Freckles, look that up for us.
Stay with us. The Drive continues coming up. Greg Schiano is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord.
Introduced today as your new football coach at Rutgers University. I watched the entire press conference from pillar to post, waiting for the hard questions to be answered. We'll let you know. We'll talk about it. Plus, your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group on the way. Stay tuned. It is The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Ladies, this is The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report, 21st ranked Tennessee men's basketball team returning to action tonight. It tips off against Florida A&M inside Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. The SEC Network will have the TV broadcast.
The Rattlers.
Tennessee, when was the last time Tennessee played Florida A&M? See who's been paying attention. Who's done their homework?
1989.
Have you done your research? 89? I have no clue. And you didn't do any research. This is just something you remember.
No.
You probably went to the game with your dad.
No. I read the game notes this morning. It's called research, Bear. Show prep.
I've no idea, but I know the Lady Vols played them last year.
It is, in fact, a trick question. Tennessee has never played Florida A&M. This is the first meeting between the two squads.
I heard it was an exhibition game that went closed.
Tennessee has never previously met Florida A&M on the collegiate hardwood. The Vols, however, are 3-0 all-time against current members of the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference.
What are some other schools in that conference?
The MEAC. The MEAC.
Bust my eardrums.
Southern. I think Southern's in the conference.
I don't know. I'm trying really hard.
I gotcha.
The MEAC.
I mean,
it seems like the kind of league Siena would be in. Is Siena in the MEAC?
What about Dunk City, Florida?
Florida Gulf Coast.
So we have Bethune-Cookman.
Okay.
Yeah. Savannah State, North Carolina Central.
Yeah.
Proud Delaware programs. State, Coppin State.
The Fighting Hens.
Coppin State. Norfolk State, Maryland Eastern Shore, and North Carolina A&T State.
There you go.
Who did
the Delaware Wing T offense?
Who did Coppin State beat in the tournament back in the day?
Ole Miss? Was it Ole Miss?
I thought it was a blue South Carolina blood. Or Ole Miss. It was an SEC team.
Yeah.
They beat a 2-seed. They had a 15-2 matchup.
Sure it wasn't Vanderbilt?
Pretty sure. When was Vanderbilt ever a 2-seed in the tournament?
They were recently. Remember, they went out in the first round.
They lost to Morehead State, if I'm not mistaken.
Friar Tuck.
You hate to see it. Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. That's what they do at the Kregner Group. If you've got any real estate questions, whether you're looking to buy land or a house, you're looking to sell a house, or you just want to know how much your home is worth and what your options are as far as moving, then give my guy Bo Kregner a call today, the Kregner Group. He's been doing real estate in town for a long time. He knows the market inside and out, and he can answer any of your questions. His phone number is 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035. You can call or text Bo there anytime, or just go online to his website at BoKnowsHouses.com. He's got a lot of links to available properties right there for you to peruse. They've got an affordability calculator you can play around with. BoKnowsHouses.com, again, the website, Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group doing real estate the right way. So,
here we go.
Watched the Schiano press conference earlier today. It was a humdinger. He was Schiano, man. He's just very soft-spoken. And look, man, like, I don't have anything personally against him. I don't know if the Sandusky stuff is true or not. You don't know. We don't know. We'll never know. All I know is I didn't want to think about it, and that was my only objection to Tennessee hiring him. However, we talk about fit, like cultural fit, just watching that today, I mean, he would have been such a poor cultural fit here. He's a Yankee. And, like, I don't say that disparagingly. Like, he has no SEC experience. He's always been a Big Ten Northeast guy. The closest he has to SEC experience is when he was coaching the Bucks in Tampa, just by virtue of being in the South. Like, I just think
complete disaster down there.
The
complete
winning
disaster.
The learning curve for him would have been so steep, and I shudder to think what would have happened if they had been able to jam that hire through.
Can you imagine the weekly Monday press conferences or post game press conferences or the way that he was going? You thought Jeremy Pruitt was aggressive towards players? Times that by about two or three, and that's where you get Greg Schiano.
I mean, he's like Butch. I thought Butch Jones a lot more aggressive than Jeremy Pruitt is.
Well, he's clearly a much better fit at Rutgers, yeah. And he had so much more hand to get that job. I mean, he's forced them to all sorts of facility upgrades that I don't think he was going to have the level of power that he has at Rutgers if he had gotten the Tennessee
private
job.
Jets, clothing. He gets a specific amount of month per money for clothing.
Yeah, I mean, we would have taken care of him, but yeah. He just, like, Rutgers begging him to come take that job. I mean, as opposed to, like, this fan base just did not want him here at Knoxville for a variety of reasons. So
who would have taken it, too? Let's think about that. If Schiano doesn't take the job, who are you going to get, Butch?
I don't think he would have taken it.
Yeah, you probably could have gotten Butch.
You think he would have taken that job?
Oh, yeah. He wants to be a head coach again in the Northeast. Yeah, he would
have
taken
that job. Yeah, but, I mean, was it you told me that they've promised him an on-field?
Yeah, but he would have taken a head coaching job at Rutgers over a position coach at Alabama.
Would he?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know that I would in that position.
Why?
Well, because you can offset your salary. You know, you can. Yeah. You're still getting paid from Tennessee.
God, he's still
and
that
continue.
Enough.
Give it another couple of years under Saban and completely rehabilitate yourself.
A guy like that, and if you're Butch Jones, even if you do that, like, are you going to get a Power Five job? Like, are you going to get a better Power Five job if you spend another 2 years working for Nick Saban?
Nobody's. You could probably get something better than Rutgers.
The longer you stay out of the limelight, though,
he's never getting a shot at one of the crown jewel programs ever again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like what we know about Butch Jones and what a control freak he was. What do you think that guy would rather do? Be his own boss and get to rule his kingdom and say all his crazy sayings and cliches and whatnot up at Rutgers, where they'd be happy with 6-win seasons and bowl trips, or be miserable working for Nick Saban, making pennies on the dollar to what you're going to be as a Big Ten coach? I know that it's
offset.
You're
making a lot of good points.
Anyway, Greg Schiano asked about the difference between fan reception. Well, first of all, let me back up here. So I watched the press conference on the Big Ten Network earlier today, the whole thing. And I was interested to see if anybody would ask him, maybe not point blank about the Sandusky stuff, because that's a hard question to ask, although it was brought up there by a women's advocacy group in New Jersey this week, so it wouldn't have been outside the bounds. We've grown up our whole life hearing about how tough the New York media is, the Northeastern media, these big city media types. They hold your feet to the fire, not afraid to ask the tough questions. So I'm thinking if he doesn't get asked about the Sandusky thing, at the very least, he'll be asked a milquetoast question about his involvement in Tennessee and what he thought, like what happened there, what was going through your mind. And you know what? I watched that whole thing on TV. 30 minutes plus, and nobody, the tough, hard-hitting journalists of the Northeast media, nobody brought it up. Not one single question about Tennessee, Penn State, Sandusky, any of that stuff.
Where'd they get the quote from him from then?
I thought it was Monica Abbott up there. There were so many softballs coming at Greg Schiano.
Somebody
today
asked him about the differences between the fan base.
So where that came from was probably afterwards. And Trey, yeah, you've been to these press conferences where they'll have a big orchestrated event and
right,
the president talks and the AD talks and then Schiano talks and then he takes questions for about 15 minutes. And then they end it.
It's called the walk and talk.
Yeah, he'll hang around for a little bit and maybe like maybe he'll answer some more questions to like the 9 or 10 beat reporters that are there every single day, the hardcores that cover the program day in, day out. Whereas like the big press conference, like you've got, you know, the ESPN guys and the ABC guys.
New York Post.
So I'm guessing that's where this quote came from.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano, asked about the difference between fans' reception in Tennessee and Rutgers, said New Jersey has sharper people, adding, quote, they just get it. Now, I see this from this was a tweet from Zach Braziller of the New York Post, so I haven't seen the video of it. I don't know the context, like where if that was a follow-up question or if there was a follow-up to that, if he said it and kind of chuckled like lovingly, just like trying to pump up his own people, or if it was a shot.
I feel like it was kind of a shot. That's how I'm taking it. Anything from him. Anybody ask him about Tampa Bay, about MRSA, about blackball, you know, that hit job he pulled on his
own
quarterback?
None of that came up. None of that came up.
I don't think you're going to get that.
The fact that his Hall of Fame level place kicker's career was ruined. And he was dishonest with his players about their risks.
Did it come up in the televised portion of the press conference?
The high school Harry stunts he used to pull there?
Did not come up. No, it was a fluff fest, man.
It's kind of awkward. That's the best way to put it, too.
We need to send Trey's ass up there to ask the hard questions.
I'm gonna chop down some trees. You know, you keep hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting, and one day you're gonna hear
brick by brick.
We could just send you up there under the guise of you're a Fox Sports Radio person.
Right.
You don't have to tell them you're from Fox Sports Knoxville. You're just from Fox Sports.
Right.
They call on you, and then boom, hit them with a sledgehammer. Stay with
us.
Send
me up there for signing day.
865-546-8200 is your number if you want to jump in here. The drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
There'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Trey and Bear Cruz along with you, Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined now by Joe Rexrode of The Athletic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man. It's going well. It's coaching search season, and, you know, we're just trying to sift through it. Since we last talked, I guess a couple of surprise openings. A little slight surprise. You know, we didn't – a lot of people thought Barry Odom and Matt Luke might hold on and come back next year, but Missouri and Ole Miss say nay. Would be interested to get your take on those jobs. But first, Joe, as a journalist, somebody who covers college football in the South, you want to see Lane Kiffin back in this league, don't you?
Oh, man, absolutely. Absolutely.
No-brainer there, huh?
No-brainer. So, yeah, I mean, I think the entire college football world has been, you know, missing him. I mean, you know, you can't miss him on Twitter, But, yeah, we need him in this league. And, yeah, those jobs, like, I'm really split on the two you just mentioned there, Russell. I mean, especially being at Missouri, you know, that weekend when Tennessee won there was a strong feeling before that game. It was kind of like, if he doesn't win this one, you know, he's gone. I wasn't surprised at that. I was really surprised by Matt Luke at Ole Miss. I'm confused as to, like, what they think they are and what this is going to accomplish. I mean, you know, hey, obviously you're going to try to go out and get a better coach, but I'm a little bit lost on that one.
I mean, that's the weird part too, like, because Russ brought it. I mean, think about it, Joe, for a second. Like, according to some folks down there in Oxford, they didn't have the money as of Saturday afternoon that they made a phone call, said, hey, can we put this thing together somehow? And then by Sunday, they get the money together and they're ready to cut loose. But, I mean, who are you going to – you're going up against Arkansas and Missouri as well, so just the timing was off.
I just wonder if it was a knee-jerk reaction to what went down in the Egg Bowl.
Hmm. Yeah, but again, like if that's – okay, so you have one kid doing something dumb, and I understand people get all furious, but if that dictates massive program direction decisions, man, your program's in big trouble.
Well, I didn't realize, as I was watching their press conference down there, and the AD there is a former basketball player who had been Greg Burns' right-hand man for a number of years, and he's only been in the big chair for like 6 months.
Carter, yeah.
And so, like, he just, after a week or two before saying that he's our guy, turns around and axes him a week later. It appears like they're scrambling, Joe. It appears to me like Missouri is scrambling. You know, I'm reading their list, and it's like all the guys are from different backgrounds and stuff. It doesn't appear like either of these schools have a great plan. They might end up with great coaches and end up bettering themselves, but it seems like they've kind of just gone into this thing a little bit haphazardly.
Right, and that's, like you said, hey, you could luck out. You could have a great surf. You could end up in better position. But I think it's a lot better to have some kind of a plan and a target. And look, I mean, these lists are what they are. Maybe we'll find out that there is more of a plan in place. But yeah, it does seem haphazard. And I will say one name thrown out there. I still think it may be a little early, but he is a guy I believe will be in the SEC, and that's Will Healy over at Charlotte,
yep,
who did a great job in 1 year, did an unbelievable job at Austin Peay, of course. And I've seen him on some Missouri lists. That would be a heck of a jump for him. I don't know if that's imminent, but at some point here, an SEC program, I think, is going to do itself a favor and hire him.
I think that's it. I think that would be a smart hire, Joe. And I also think if teams aren't interviewing Bill Clark, then there's something wrong with their athletic department. Because you
talk, I totally agree.
Especially what he's done and being able to build back up a program like that in UAB, which has been competitive in a lot of their games. So
don't you think he would be a better fit, though, at a place like Ole Miss where you're closer to – because he's such an Alabama guy through and through. Don't you think he'd be closer to that – better closer to that state as opposed to – Missouri pretty far away.
Yeah.
And I've heard him linked more to that job than I have to the Ole Miss job. I don't know. That might just
be me. Sense.
Joe, when
Willie
you look
Fritz at, is another guy too. I think Willie Fritz is.
Yeah.
You know, well, then he comes out and says that, you know, Missouri is his dream job after getting off the phone with, you know,
what
Arkansas.
A weird comment. Like who is besides Barry Odom, who played there? Like who is Missouri's their dream job? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. That doesn't make sense.
Joe, Saturday night. Well, we're sitting there, and Jeremy Pruitt is speaking, you know, to the press, and we're all soaked, and it is what it is, and you somehow had to make a trip to Indianapolis in the next 16 hours when we were sitting there. But just over the course of the year and your time sitting there and you're listening to Jeremy speak and talking about the regular season, what do you take away from what this Tennessee team did over the last 8 weeks of the season, even though in a loss or two in there? But what's your main takeaway, and where do you think this program goes in the future?
Well, it was a heck of a job. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think I think you can look at this and say it definitely reinforces, you know, belief in Pruitt. I mean, for people who were sticking with him through the really bumpy start to this season, you know, I think it justified that viewpoint. I mean, he got the buy-in, you know, and I don't know if that meeting after the Florida game was as important as some have said, but whatever it is, you know, this team got better, and that's what you want to see. Players have gotten better. Individuals have gotten better. And I think another thing with this season is, you know, Jim Cheney comes in, and Jared Garantano really struggles early in that offense. And you do have to give things like that some time. It's just not going to be instant. And although I didn't really like what I saw from him in the Vanderbilt game in a lot of cases, that's still obviously been a pretty amazing turnaround for him. So it's just, you know, I want to be careful about looking at this and saying this means X is, you know, X means Y is going to happen in the future with this program. I mean, right now he's trying to get it back to, you know, when Butch Jones had back-to-back 9-win seasons. You know, Butch Jones had some really good recruiting classes, and that ended up falling apart on him. But I do think the physicality and toughness of the program needed a massive upgrade, and I think we're seeing that. And I also think that Pruitt came with a reputation for developing players, and I think we're seeing that too. And I think that was a massive failure of Butch Jones' tenure. And so if you're comparing those two and talking about direction, I do think in that area you can feel good if you're a Tennessee fan. Mm.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic with us here this afternoon. And Joe, Trey mentioned you were in Indy for the Titans' win over the Colts this past weekend. And boy, you get, you know, the Titans always have this game as we get to the playoff race portion of the season where you're kicking yourself from earlier the season. And man, losing to the Colts week two, ooh, that put them behind the eight ball. But they've got two games with the Texans. What do you think, Joe? Can they run down the Texans, win the division, and get to the playoffs?
Well, they can, and they've got two with the Texans, two of the last three. So, I mean, it's right there for them. It is in their control. It's just when you compare, like, anybody else going for these playoff spots in the AFC, look at their schedules and then compare it to the Titans. I mean, it's not just the two against the Texans. You get Drew Brees and the Saints in the home finale. You know, that's a team fighting for the one seed in the NFC. And this week at Oakland, Oakland's looked bad last couple weeks, but it's a team in the hunt, one game behind the Titans, has to win this game to stay alive. And the Coliseum, I mean, it's the next to last game at the Coliseum. And, you know, for anybody who thought, like, Raiders fans are going to abandon this team because they're going to Vegas, now they're packing this place. It's like premium prices on tickets at this place. It's going to be a madhouse. So, and, you know, just going out west is never easy. So can they? Yes. And they can also finish 7-9, even with, you know, with this massive turnaround that they've had with Ryan Tannehill and obviously Derrick Henry playing so well. I mean, it's just the schedule's really tough. They're going to – the win at Indy is big because it's just a place they struggle usually to win. And a team, no matter where they play them, they struggle to beat. So I feel like that was a mental hurdle. But now you have to win this next one to set yourself up for the last three.
I asked you last week about Tannehill and his contract situation going forward, and I think you basically said, you know, let's give him a 1 or 2 year deal and kind of see how it goes. You draft somebody this year if the right guy's available when you pick. But, you know, if barring some sort of unforeseen collapse, let's say he does win those two games against the Texans and gets you to the playoffs, you got to bring him back as the starter next year, right?
Oh, no question. I think you, no matter what, I mean, even if it goes bad from here, I think you want him back as your starter next year. That may have an effect on the price tag and the terms of the deal. If he keeps out on this pace and they keep winning, he's going to make a lot of money. And I think the Titans will. And of course they could tag him, and you know, they may tag him that, you know, you also, because of the CBA right now, they could actually tag Tannehill and Henry if they wanted to. Because that's another contract that, I mean, to me, they have to sign Derrick Henry. And I think you have to sign Ryan Tannehill, even if you don't believe he is this guy, he's this franchise guy that you're going to build everything around in the future. I think you want him to be your quarterback at least for the next couple of years or next year, even if you end up drafting someone. But, yeah, with each week, it looks more and more like a bigger deal and more of an investment in him. Hmm. And, you know, so we'll see how that goes. But he has he's played well beyond what 7 years of evidence have told us. But you can always look at that and say, who did he have around him? Who was coaching him? What's the organization like? I mean, it's not like the Dolphins have been a model organization in this league either. So, and I think sometimes when you have that situation, when you get dumped by a team and you still have talent, and Ryan has talked a little bit about this, you know, it gives you a little bit, maybe a little bit extra focus, a little bit extra determination to uncover every rock and film study every week and all that stuff to maximize your performance.
Joe, last question for me, buddy. We won't talk to you probably again until next week or the week after, and I'd love your thoughts. Who's going to be in the Final Four when it comes to the college football playoffs come Monday? And also, how much is the Music City Bowl going after University of Tennessee to play in Nashville?
Well, on the last one, there's no question that that the Music City Bowl wants Tennessee, and they'll take them every year right now. And I think that Scott Ramsey will make all inquiries and fight for the balls if he can. I don't think he's going to get them this year. I think Tennessee is just too attractive to other bowls. When you talk about not being in a bowl game for a few years, you talk about that fan base and what you're going to have in terms of travel. You know, I think the ball's going to be in Jacksonville, but yeah, they want them. As far as I think Utah's going to be the fourth team, and ooh, you know, and the others will be, despite what Paul Feinbaum says, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with Utah in there. Utah's a really, really good team. I think they're going to get the edge over Oklahoma as the fourth team. And then, you know, the usual suspects, your top three. I think LSU is going to beat Georgia and knock Georgia out of there.
Hey, if Wisconsin somehow – you know the Big Ten really, really well. If Wisconsin somehow pulls an upset over Ohio State, is Ohio State still in?
Yeah. No, I think so for sure. Yeah. Don't you? Yeah. I mean,
I kind of do. Yeah. I'm just, you know, the Big Ten championship always gives us kind of these weird games at times. So it's just one of those things.
Unbeaten and you just won by 30 at Michigan. You know, you've blown up. Yeah. I think they're safe. And I also think they're going to beat the crap out of Wisconsin, but we'll see.
should be a fun next couple of days, Joe. And, man, we always do appreciate you, buddy, and I look forward to seeing you down the road, man. Have fun at the NASCAR Awards this week.
Oh, I'm all over, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. See ya.
Joe Rexroad making his presence felt this afternoon here on The Drive. You know what I hope with the playoff?
Chaos?
Here's what I hope, man. And I'm no – man, Bear's going to be so upset.
Say it.
I want Georgia to win the SEC championship game.
There you go.
So that they both get in. And we don't have to have this stupid conversation about Utah or Oklahoma. Because I agree with Feinbaum. I don't want to see Utah in there. They're going to get just railed by whoever they play if they get in. It's going to be a waste of time. But if Georgia's that fourth team – they'll play with Ohio State.
Can Georgia
probably beat Ohio State?
Oh, come on.
Give me a bet. They don't have the offense to beat any of the top three teams.
Georgia can't keep up with a team like that.
Can't keep up with a team like that. Oh, come on, man. Come on. You guys, we do this all the time.
They could possibly win a close one.
Y'all drinking that Big Ten Kool-Aid because –
no,
because
I'm saying they can't keep up with LSU either. They aren't going to be able to keep up with Clemson.
Right. I think we've just watched Georgia for the last 5
weeks. Their offense
isn't
any good this year.
You guys are going to sit here and tell me with a straight face that you think Utah is a better team than Georgia?
No, but it really doesn't matter.
No. Even Bear can't say it.
No.
Even Bear can't say it.
No, I won't say that, but I don't.
Because I want three good games.
I don't want Georgia in there.
Georgia's down 2 of their wide receivers to start the game Saturday.
They're getting beat Saturday,
bro. Look at it this way, Bear. Georgia gets in there, and what you think is going to happen, Ohio State lays the lumber to them. Wouldn't you love to see them get humiliated on the national stage like that?
No, because I hate Ohio State as much as I hate Georgia.
You're just full of hatred. Stay with us. You're a hateful, hateful man.
It's hard to feel sorry for me.
The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
Now, back to The Drive. On Fox Sports Knoxville.
It appears that Mike Bobo is out at Colorado State.
Mike Bobo? Who was that?
It was Houston.
Houston. That needs to be on a drop somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Mike Bobo?
I wonder, first of all, like what is his buyout like? And if he doesn't want to jump right back into it, if he wants to take some time off, like
where would Bobo go?
He and Pruitt and Cheney and all these guys know each other and are friends. Like he'd be a good guy to have on your staff in one of those analyst roles, like we had John Lilly last year, or like Saban does, where he stashes a Kiffin or a Sarkisian.
He's got an incredibly overly qualified quarterback coach.
If they make some moves, I could see that happening. Because he's not going to get – if you fail at a group of five conference school, right, you're not going to get anything on that level. The best job he can hope to get to immediately is a Power 5 OC job.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if he's got some –
a lower
buyout.
Level one.
You don't think he'd go to the Sun Belt or something like that and coach? Head coach?
I don't know. You run the risk of getting tracked into being a Sun Belt coach.
I agree with that.
He needs to get back into the SEC and just kind of stay in the game like you're talking about.
Rebrand himself.
Like
rebrand,
Mike
recharge.
Did.
He's apparently a
candidate. Not as bad as that. I mean, Loxley.
He bombed in New Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just he had on and off the field issues there.
He's apparently a candidate for the South Carolina offensive coordinator job.
Be a good spot.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, him and Muschamp played together, didn't they?
That makes a lot of sense, but you gotta, man. If I'm his agent, and I'm like, dude, you're a young coach.
You know who his agent is.
Like that dude is on the hot seat. You go there, And okay, maybe you get it turned around, and you and Muschamp get to coach there for a couple of years, and maybe you do well, and you get another shot as a head coaching job. But if you go there and you struggle because Will Muschamp sucks and he's crazy, and you get fired, then you'll have been fired from two jobs consecutively, and it's going to be hard to get another gig.
So would Kirby take him back?
He's going to be in the boat Dooley's in right now. Except I think Dooley's worse because Dooley had pretty much rehabbed himself after Dallas.
Then unfortunately, this last half of the year happened for him.
Yeah, that's why I would be careful, man. If you never know what a guy's motivations are, what he truly wants to do. That's why I'm saying, if
look at Rich Rod,
maybe you take a step back, man. Maybe you take a step back and be like, look, I'm going to go and hang out with my buddy Pruitt down here. I'll be an analyst, and I'll just cut up game film and stuff, kind of come and go as I please a little bit. You know,
recruit.
I'll be doing him a favor and that kind of thing. And then, you know.
Relax.
Take his buyout. Bit.
As much as you can in that life.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's definitely not anywhere near the level of pressure that, you know, the on-field quarterback coach or, you know, offensive staff under Pruitt would be.
Did you see some of the stuff that Chris Peterson was saying about why he stepped away from Washington?
No, but I can imagine.
Burnout.
Yeah, he was just talking about the anxiety and the stress and how he didn't enjoy the victories anymore and was just consumed by all the problems around his program, and it wasn't good for his mental health. It's interesting, man.
So happened to Rick Barnes.
You and I were talking about the Patriots and the way they do things, and
we're talking about James Harrison. Remember, he was talking about how the Patriots coaches stay there until. You know,
but there's the college coaches. You know, those guys grind so hard and for so long.
I mean,
and the pro game is a little bit different. We'll pick up on that thought coming up here. We got to take a quick time out here. Hour number two of the drive on the way. Jake will be in with your top four. At four, we'll hit the reset button coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.